This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching the coming kingdom of God, which is a message near and dear to the heart of Jesus during his ministry. It was important to Jesus to talk about the kingdom. And it's important that you understand the message of the kingdom. And we're giving background in these last couple weeks regarding the kingdom to find out what it is that Jesus was preaching and what his mission was. We find that in the scriptures that Jesus was our substitute. God provided Jesus to die for us. And this is so important because man was a creation of God that he loved. God loved us. He made us. And he wanted us to live. But we went our own way. We went our own way and disobeyed. And as a result, we fell under the judgment of God from the very beginning. God told the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden, if you disobey, you're going to die. The temptation given to Eve was that if you disobey, if you eat that fruit that God says you can't eat, you won't really die. Matter of fact, you'll be just like God. Eve fell for it. Sadly, she fell for it. And we've been paying the price ever since. But because of God's love, it's been a never-ending search to try to reach man, to get man back. It was a mission of love. The Old Testament talks about a way that God provided for man to have forgiveness. In the Old Testament, God provided the opportunity for man to sacrifice animals, that they would be the scapegoat, that they would be offered. Animals would be killed in place of man as a substitute. But man couldn't find life. The animals couldn't provide life. The process of offering the sacrifices had to be done over and over and over. The Old Testament talks about the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle, the most holy place, and he would offer a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for himself and for the people. And he did this once a year, and it was over and over every year. It had to be done. One verse I want you to write down is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. That verse says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The only way man could be forgiven is by having a blood sacrifice provided. God started in the Old Testament and showed it through an animal sacrifice that man could have forgiveness. And he would see that sacrifice and honor that sacrifice. And animals were a substitute for man. But that was only temporary. It was not a permanent fix. There needed to be a permanent fix to remedy man's predicament. That perfect sacrifice had to be a male, without spot, without blemish. It had to be a human sacrifice. How do you find a human sacrifice that's perfect? All of us created in God's image were born after the similitude of Adam. We are born in the image of God with Adam's sin. But Jesus' birth was a very unique birth, an immaculate conception. Mary gave birth from the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 1, the angel told Mary that she had found favor with God, and she would give birth to God's Son. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. She would give birth to a child and call his name Jesus. He would be great. He would be called the Son of the Most High. and he would sit on the throne of his father David. In the book of Matthew in chapter 1, a similar visit was made to Joseph, and he was given a message about this child, that the child's name would be Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. Now, that is specifically very, very important. For Jews knew the only way to have forgiveness of sin, to be saved from sin, was by a death, by a blood sacrifice. And the angel told Joseph, he, this child, will save his people from their sins. Joseph was given a message that the Jews well understood, that Jesus would die. Joseph understood it. John the Baptist understood it. This child would die. That was going to be God's substitute for us. Up to that time, no one was good enough. The book of Isaiah in chapter 64 and verse 4 says that you and I, at our very best, our own righteousness, our very best, is like filthy rags. We find also in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, there is no one that is righteous, no, not one. That's a partial quote from Psalm 14 and verse 3, that there is none righteous. We couldn't fit the bill. God provided a sacrifice. He provided his only son, his only begotten son. The beginning of Jesus was in the manger in Bethlehem. That was his beginning. He had his start, and he was tempted in all ways like we are, and yet remained sinless. He obeyed God in all areas. In chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, and verse 52, we have Jesus growing in four different ways. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and favor with man. He grew in wisdom, that was mental knowledge. He increased in stature, that's physical growth. He increased in wisdom and favor with God, that's spiritual growth. And he increased with favor with man, that's social growth. He increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Jesus increased in physical growth, mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. He grew in those areas. But what is unique is the fact that his Father, God Almighty, is already perfect, and you can't improve on perfection. Jesus was the Son of God who grew in these areas, obeyed God in every facet of his life. And today, as our high priest, the book of Hebrews and chapter 4 and verse 15 says he is our high priest that understands the feelings of our infirmities, for he was tempted in all points as like we are, and yet remained sinless. This is why we have Jesus. God needed Jesus. I'm going to have you look at one more passage of Scripture this morning. I want you to look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and verse 15. Verse 15 and 16. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I want you to write this down. I want you to go back and study it again later on. I want you to, we'll start with verse 15, which he will bring about the proper time. He who is the only blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality. He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man hath seen. To him be honor and eternal dominion. This is speaking of God. Jesus is the Son of God. God is the only one, and it's spoken of here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, particularly in verse 16, speaking of God, he alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. That's God Almighty. Jesus, on the other hand, God's Son, dwelt among men, grew in those four different ways, according to Hebrews 2:52, lived among us. He was our sacrifice, and he died for us. God is the only one that has eternal life and immortality to give. He is the source of immortality. He gave it to Jesus when he raised Jesus back to life. Yes, Jesus has immortality today, but he received it when he was raised from the dead. When you look at the scripture here, God is the source of immortality. You and I don't have immortality. We are mortal creatures that are subject to death. And because of disease, because of calamities around us, and just our bodies wearing out, since the time of Adam, at a certain point in our age, man has come to the point where he dies. But the scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus back to life is going to raise us up. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Check it out. We are going to be raised back to life. Jesus died in our place so we wouldn't have to die eternally. But for our mortal life right now, we'll die. And we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when Jesus returns. So this death that we experience is not permanent. It's temporary when you believe in Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you continue to study and become a student of his word. And I hope that you will continue to read God's word on a daily basis and become a student of his word.